بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن شاء الله تعالى in this session wrap up what remains from Imam al-Muhasibi's book رسالة المسترشدين. And we pray that Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq in that. So he says, Rahimahullah, علم أنه لا يرضى من العلم والعمل إلا ما ثبت باليقين أصله. He says, you should know that nothing is satisfactory from knowledge nor action, or this could mean from aqidah or ibadah, from beliefs nor worship, except that which is firmly rooted. وَعَلَى بِالصِّدْقِ فَرْءُ. And its branches reach upward on the basis of truth. وَأَثْمَرَ بِالْوَرَعِ نَبَاتُ. And the vegetation that it sends forth, it comes forth or is pushed forth by scrupulousness and deen. So obviously this is allegorical language. وَقَامَ بِالْإِشْفَاقِ بُرْهَانُهُ. And its proof is established on the basis of fear. وَحُجِبَ بِالْخَشْيَةِ أَسْتَارُهُ. And it is awe that causes its veils to be effective. فَلَا تَرْضَى مِن نَفْسِكَ بِالتَّوَانِي. And he said, don't be satisfied to fall short. Don't be satisfied with your shortcomings. فَإِنَّهُ لَا عُذْرَ لِأَحَدٍ فِي التَّفْرِيقِ. Because no one has an excuse that they come up short. وَلَا لِأَحَدٍ عَنِ اللَّهِ غِنَى. And no one has any justification to feel that he can do without Allah Ta'ala. And this is one of the greatest delusions of the human being. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَقْغَى أَرَأَهُ اسْتَغْنَى. That the human being transgresses beyond all bounds and that he considers himself to be independent or free and not in need of Allah Ta'ala. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مِنْ سَعَادَةِ الْمَرْءِ حُسْنَ النِّيَّةِ فِيمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالتَّوْفِيقَ لِمَحَابِّهِ. He says, you should know that from the things that will give a person lasting happiness is to have a good niyyah concerning that which is with Allah Ta'ala, and to have divine facilitation to attain to His love. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهِ بِهِ خَيْرًا وَهَبَ لَهُ الْعَقْلَ وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلَ وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْعِلْمَ. And he says that the one who Allah desires good for, then He gives him a sound intellect and He makes knowledge beloved to him. And these are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know the hadith mentioned yesterday, he mentioned, is often mentioned, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The one that Allah Ta'ala desires good for, He gives him a sound understanding of deen. And this is the basic meaning of the hadith. Because at this time, the word fiqh, as the compilation of the rulings of Islam, hadn't been applied as a technical term. Fiqh just meant, when this hadith was uttered, and in the Qur'an, it means understanding, fahm. وَحَبَاهُ بِالْإِشْفَاقِ. And he gives him the ability or capacity to fear Allah. And we mentioned one of the reasons we have a moral breakdown in this society. People no longer have a fear of God. They don't fear God. So without the fear of God, there's no moral restraint. And there's no impetus for one to try to improve himself or herself morally. وَاسْتَعْمَلَهُ بِالرِّفْقِ. And Allah places him in positions where he will deal with people with gentleness and kindness. وَغْنَاهُ بِالْقَنَاعَةِ. And Allah enriches him with satisfaction or contentment. And we mentioned this throughout several times. The key to wealth in Islam is not possessions. It's the condition of the heart. If the heart is content with what one has, the person is wealthy. And if the heart is not content, no matter how much one has, the person is impoverished. وَبَصَّرُهُ عَيْبًا. And Allah Ta'ala causes him to see his faults. And as we mentioned again, and we reiterate, this is one of the greatest blessings a human being can have, that he or she is shown their faults, and not concentrating or obsessed with the faults of others. وَعَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّ الصِّدْقَ وَالْإِخْلَاصَ أَصْلُ كُلِّ حَالٍ. And you should know, may Allah have mercy on you, that honesty and sincerity, these are the foundations of every state. Every spiritual state you attain to, its basis or foundation lies in these two characteristics, sidq wal ikhlas, honesty and sincerity. فمن الصدق يتشعب الصبر والقناعة والزهد والرضا والأنس. And from honesty or truthfulness come forth the branches, or it branches out into patience, contentment, otherworldliness, pleasure or being satisfied, and sociability or intimacy with Allah Ta'ala. وَعَنِ الْإِخْلَاصِ يَتَشَعَبُ الْيَقِينِ وَالْخَوْفِ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ والإجلال والحياء والتعظيم. And from ikhlas branches forth certitude, fear, love, exaltation, and all of these are applied to Allah Ta'ala. Certainty in Allah, the existence of Allah, the things Allah promises from Jannah, the things He's threatened us with, such as the Jahannam. The fear of Allah, the love of Allah, the exaltation of Allah, shyness before Allah, والتعظيم, الحياء والتعظيم, and magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَقَامَاتِ مَوْطِنٌ يُعْرَفُ بِهِ حَالُهُ. And every believer in each of these stations, so each of these is a station, fear, certitude, love, ijlal, or exaltation of Allah, haya, ta'zim, each of these has a station through which a person's state is known. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ قَائِفٌ وَفِيهِ الرَّجَاءُ. And it's said that he is one who fears Allah, has fear, or is fearful, but he also has hope. And is the existence of his hope is an indication of the existence of fear. And it said that he وَرَاجٍ وَفِيهَ خَوْفٍ. And he is one who longs or has hope, and in him there is fear. وَصَابِرْ وَفِيهَ رِضَى. And it said that he's patient, yet he has contentment. وَمُحِبٌ وَفِيهِ حَيَاءٍ وَفِيهِ الْحَيَاءِ. And he's one who loves Allah. He has love, and he also has shyness before Allah. In other words, his love doesn't push him to be forward or lack shyness before Allah Ta'ala, so there's restraint. Love usually causes someone to lose restraint, but the modesty or the shyness balances that out. And we mention constantly, everything has to be understood in the context of a balance. وَقُوَّةُ كُلِّ حَالٍ وَضَعْفُ بِحَسَبِ إِيمَانِ الْعَبْدِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ. And that the strength or the weakness of every state that the servant may attain to is proportionate to the level of his faith and his knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, his deep experienced knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. As we said, a person can have firm belief that Allah is al-Muhyi. But the person who's gone into a coma and then Allah Ta'ala has brought him back, his understanding of al-Muhyi isn't based on intellectualizing, it's based on experience. So for him, the state surrounding his understanding of this attribute is deeper than the first one, because it's rooted in experience. وَلِكُلِّ أَصْلٍ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَحْوَالِ ثَلَاثُ عَلَمَاتٍ يُعْرَفُ بِهَا الْحَالِ. And each the foundation of each of these states has three indications or three indicators through which the state itself is known. فَالصِّدْقُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءٍ لَا تَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِهِ. So honesty or truthfulness has three things or three indicators. If they don't exist, then the honesty or the truthfulness is not complete. Is not complete. صدق القلب بالإيمان تحقيقا. The truthfulness of the heart, which is manifested in faith, actualized faith. وصدق النية في الأعمال. And the truthfulness of the niyyah, which exists in the action. The actions that the servant undertakes. وَصِدْقُ اللَّفْظِ فِي الْكَلَامِ. And the honesty of the expressions which are manifested in the speech of the servant. So these are the three indicators. The honesty of the heart, which is truthful and honest iman, which is, how do we know this? We know it through the actions of the individual. لَيْسَ الدِّينَ بِالتَّمَنِّي وَلَكِنْ مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَصَدَّقَهُ الْأَمَلِ. So the tasdiq, or the testimony, the testification or testimony of the truthfulness of the faith in the heart lies in the actions. And the honesty of the niyyah, which should be honest, we should have a sincere and honest niyyah that everything we do is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the honesty of the expressions, which is to be found in the speech. So we can measure that when we assess what a person says. وَالصَّبْرُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ لَا تَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِهِ. And similarly, patience has three things that it is only completed with their existence. الصَّبْرُ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. Patiently persevering in restraining from those things which Allah has made forbidden, and enduring the difficulties that occur because of that restraint. وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى اتِّبَاعِ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And patiently persevering in following and implementing the commands of Allah, and enduring the difficulty, patiently enduring the difficulty and persevering through the difficulty that entails. وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الْمَصَائِبِ احْتِسَابًا لِلَّهِ. And then the third thing, or rather patience at the time in dealing with the calamities which come from Allah, anticipating a reward for that patience from Allah. So we persevere at the time of death, the time of loss, the time of fire, natural disaster, and it brings much loss for us, but we keep persevering in dealing with that, and we get a reward from Allah Ta'ala for that. And the reward of the patient person has no limits. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The patient people are given their reward without any reckoning. And we mentioned earlier the trials and tribulations that are mentioned by Allah Ta'ala when He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. So these patient people who persevere through the fear, the hunger, the loss of life and wealth and fruits, etc. Then when they're afflicted with calamity, they say, we belong to Allah and unto Him we are returning. These will have the salawat, the prayers and blessings from Allah and His mercy. وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And these will be the ones who are successful. So these are just some of the rewards for the patient people. And then he says, وَالْقَنَاعَةُ, so he's mentioning the things which branch off from sidq, or from honesty. So he mentions the third, وَالْقَنَاعَةُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ, the contentment is to be found in three things. قِلَّةُ الْغِذَاءِ بَعْدَ وُجُودِهِ, that even when one has the existence of abundance, one does not satiate himself or herself. وَصِيَانَةُ وَصِيَانَةُ الْفَقْرِ عِنْدَ الْعَدَمِ وَقِلَّةِ الْأَسْبَابِ, and a person endures poverty in a respectable and dignified fashion when he has nothing and has very little means to meet his needs. وَالسُّكُونُ إِلَى وَالسُّكُونُ إِلَى أَوْقَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَعَ حُلُولِ الْفَاقَةِ, and the person, despite his situation, finds the quiet moments to give and to spend with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship and Quran and dhikr, even when poverty has been removed from him. So we mentioned it, earlier, one of the blessings of poverty is the poor person has more time to worship Allah. And one of the blessings that Allah Ta'ala gives a wealthy person is that even after the person becomes wealthy, he or she still finds time to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a blessing and this is a sign that this person is content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلْقَنَاعَةِ أَوَّلٌ وَآخِرٌ, and contentment has a beginning and an end. فَأَوَّلُهَا تَرْكُ الْفُضُولِ مَعَ وُجُودِ الْتِسَاعِ, the beginning of contentment is to leave off excess, even leave off being overindulgent or excessive, even when there's an existence, there's the existence of abundance. So it's easy to be frugal and to be restrained when we don't have anything. But it's another case to be restrained when we do have something. So this is the beginning of this state of contentment. Even when there's abundance, the person doesn't overindulge. وَآخِرُهَا وُجُودُ الْغِنَى مَعَ فَقْدِ الْأَسْبَابِ, and the end of contentment is to find wealth even when one has nothing. So this wealth is in the heart. So this wealth is in the heart. And this is the end point of contentment, that the heart is totally content with whatever Allah Ta'ala blesses the individual with. وَمِنْ هَهُنَا قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ الْقَنَاعَةُ أَعْلَى مِنَ الرِّضَى, and from this point of view, some of the scholars, they say that qanaa is a higher state than satisfaction or being pleased. وَإِنَّمَا أَرَادَ قَنَاعَةَ التَّمَامِ, because qanaa is a completed and perfected state. لِنَّ الرَّاضِي لَا يَتَعَرَّضُ فِي الْمَنْعِ وَالْعَطَاءِ, the person who is satisfied, the issue with that person isn't how much is presented, is given to them, or how much is withheld from them. So it's, this person isn't presented with a choice between dealing with something or dealing with nothing. And he'll clarify this more in a minute. وَقَانْعُ غَنِيٌّ بِرَبِّهِ, the person who has contentment, his contentment is absolute. He's content with Allah Ta'ala. Whereas the one who's pleased is pleased with something. So even though he's pleased with something, you're pleased with your new car. But this doesn't preclude you longing for another car. I like this car, but it would be nice to have another car. So whereas the qana', he's content with Allah, whatever he has, and doesn't long for more. His contentment is a function of his satisfaction and his pleasure and delight with Allah Himself, the one who gives these things that cause satisfaction. So for this reason, they say contentment is a higher state. Contentment is absolute, whereas satisfaction is contingent. on what you're satisfied with. And it is satisfaction, the one who's content doesn't long for more and doesn't wish for less. Whereas the one that's satisfied might long for more.
وَلَا يُحِبُّ زِيَادَةَ مَعَهُ مِنْ حَظٍ هُوَ لَهُ إِلَّا مِنْهُ لَهُ.
So his contentment is absolute, and only if Allah Ta'ala manifests more, then his contentment with that thing is manifested. But if it's not manifested, contentment doesn't yearn for the thing. But if Allah gives it, because his contentment is with Allah Ta'ala, he accepts whatever Allah gives him and is content with that.
وَالزُّهْدُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ لَا يُسَمَّى زَاهِدًا إِلَّا بِهَا.
And zuhud lies in three, has three indications, or indicator, or is in three things. And a person isn't called zahidan or otherworldly except with these things.
قَلْعُ الْأَيْدِي مِنَ الْأَمْلَاكِ.
He pulls back his hand from trying to possess things. So if the possessions come, he accepts that. That's fine. But he doesn't live to possess things. As we said, the zuhud is in the heart, not in the hand. If the hand is full, the person has many possessions, his heart isn't attached to those things. His heart is attached to the hereafter, to the Jannah, to Allah Ta'ala.
وَنَزَاهَةُ النَّفْسِ عَنِ الْحَلَالِ.
And even he refrains he pulls back his nafs from even longing after lawful things. So, or being given an increase in lawful things. And this is a very strict standard of zuhud that Al-Muhasibi is talking about, that most writers don't go to this level. And then he says, وَسَهْوُ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا بِكَثْرَةِ الْأُوْقَاتِ. And he is heedless concerning the world, because by so being, it increases the time he has to spend with Allah Ta'ala, in the dhikr of Allah, with the word of Allah, the Qur'an, and worshipping Allah, and standing in prayer. So his detachment from the dunya frees him up to engage himself with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And even this could be absolute for the zahid, whose heart is totally obsessed and totally connected with Allah Ta'ala, even if he's surrounded by luxuries, because enjoyment of those things is secondary to the satisfaction and to the sweetness that he finds in his relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So even in the midst of, he might live in a palace, but he's constantly, all of his time is devoted to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala.
وَيَكُونُ الرَّجُلُ مُتَزَهِّدًا بِثَلَاثَةٍ أُخَرَ.
And a person is known as a person who is advanced in otherworldliness with the existence of three other things.
حِمْيَةُ النَّفْسِ عِنْدَ تَرَامِ الْإِرَادَاتِ.
So he protects his soul at the times when the desires abound. So the desires are abundant, but he protects his soul and prevents his soul from being consumed by those desires.
وَهَرَبُوا مِنْ مَوَاطِنِ الْغِنَى.
And he flees away from the places where he might find physical wealth. So he flees away from the places or opportunities to enrich himself with material riches.
وَأَخْضُ الْمَعْلُومِ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ.
And he only takes from that which he knows the hukum concerning it in the time of his need. So in the time of his need, if there's something he's not sure of the hukum, he refrains from it, even though he has a need, he has a haja. If his ma'lum or the ruling in it, that is halal, is known, then he takes from it. And this is only in his times of needs.
وَالْأُنْسُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ.
And sociability or intimacy lies in three things.
أُنْسٌ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالذِّكْرِ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ.
to find sociability by studying knowledge and engaging in dhikr in isolation. And people that spend time at night studying or remembering Allah or reading Quran, they know how much, how intimate they feel with what they're doing and how close they feel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during those times. And this is a reality. The second, he says, وَأُنْسٌ بِالْيَقِينِ وَالْمَعْرِفَةِ مَا خَلْوَى. And to find sociability and intimacy by having the feeling of absolute certainty concerning Allah Ta'ala and His existence and concerning the things He promises and the things He threatens with. وَالْمَعْرِفَةِ مَا خَلْوَى. And to deepen his knowledge of Allah Ta'ala during these times of isolation, or along with isolation. وَأُنْسٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلْ فِي كُلَّ حَالٍ. And then an absolute state where no matter what state he's in, he finds intimacy with Allah Ta'ala. And this is what we were referring to yesterday when we mentioned, he said, وَدَاوِمْ الْقَلْوَ بِالذِّكْرِ أو بِالذِّكْرِ اللَّهِ. To remain in a constant state of remembrance with the constant state of privacy. The other way around. وَدَاوِمْ الذِّكْرِ بِالْخَلْوَ. So he stays in a constant state of isolation. The first one was right. I said, I'm trying to remember it. The statement, with the remembrance of Allah. So either in his isolation, his remembrance of Allah is enhanced, or because of his remembrance of Allah, he's always, his dhikr, he's always with Allah. So this is what he's talking about here when he said, أُنْسٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي كُلَّ حَالٍ. Because no matter what he's doing, his heart is always with Allah. So we mentioned, he could be driving in his car and his heart is La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. He could be giving someone instructions, you know, oh, you need to go to Stop and Shop, turn here, turn there, and his heart, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And then when he stops, then his whole being is caught up in the strength of his remembrance of Allah. But his heart is always there, even when his tongue isn't. And so this is the intimacy and the sociability with Allah Azza wa Jal fi kulli hal, in every state, and this only comes after time. And Aisha, she said of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana yadhkurullah fi kulli ahyanihi wa fi kulli ahwalihi, or kama qalat, that the Prophet used to remember Allah in all of his times and all of his states. So this is what we aspire to. To be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we have total peace, because we are totally close to Allah Ta'ala, and nothing can come between us. So nothing can disrupt the satisfaction and the contentment that we feel when we've arrived to that state. وَرِضَى نِظَامُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. And he says, contentment is the foundation of love. وَنَفْسِ التَّوَكُّلْ رُوحُ الْيَقِينِ. And the soul of dependence on Allah is the spirit of absolute certainty. وَقَدْ ذُكِرَ عَنْ أَيُّوبِ السَّخْطِيَانِ وَالْفُضَيْلِ بْنِ عِيَادِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنَّهُمَا كَانَا يَقُولَانَ الرِّضَى التَّوَكُّلِ. So it's related from Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani and al-Fudayl bin Iyad. May Allah's mercy be on both of them. They say that contentment is tawakkul. Is tawakkul. Contentment is reliance on Allah. Rather, being satisfied is relying on Allah. So how is this? One is so pleased with Allah that they don't see anyone else to rely on. So one is so pleased with Allah, they can't imagine relying on anyone else. So their pleasure with Allah, their satisfaction with Allah, precludes their depending on anyone else. And then he says, rahimahullah, فهذه شعب الصدق الصدق المأخوذة بأوصاف العلم.
And he said, these are branches of honesty. They're taken or understood by the descriptions that knowledge brings. They're not understood by experience, rather they're understood by their descriptions.
وَكَانَ سُفْيَانُ الثَّوْرِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ يَقُولُ إِذَا كَمَلَ صِدْقُ الصَّادِقِ لَمْ يَمْلِكْ مَا فِي يَدَيْهِ.
Sufyan al-Thawri said, when the honesty of the honest person, the truthfulness of the truthful one is perfected and completed, he doesn't even see himself owning the things that he physically possesses. He doesn't see himself attached to anything. And all of this is tawheed. Because what do we say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard.
That Allah, we belong to Allah ourselves, and unto Him we are returning. For Allah is whatever is in the heavens and the earth.
وَآتُوهُمْ مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتَاكُمْ. And give them from the wealth of Allah which He has given you.
So everything belongs to Allah. So when this reality dawns on us, we don't see ourselves as owning anything. We never say, this is mine. Everything we acknowledge, this is Allah's. The car, the watch, the house, the job, everything is Allah's. So this is a high state that when we're truthful and honest, because why? We're saying this. Now why is this a function of truthfulness and honesty? We're saying this. We're reading the Quran. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ.
But the reality of this isn't impressed on our heart. This is my house, my car. Give me my car keys back.
And we perceive that we own something, even though we're saying it belongs to Allah.
So when our honesty grows, and because of our assimilating these states into the depths of our being, then the truth dawns on us. This isn't mine. I don't own anything.
وَأَمَّا شُعْبُ الْإِخْلَاصِ فَلَا يُسَمَّى الْمُخْلِصُ مُخْلِصًا حَتَّى يُفْرِدَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الْأَشْبَاهِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ.
He says, as for the branches of sincerity towards Allah, he says the sincere person is not called, truly referred to as truly sincere, until he strips Allah from having any likenesses or any equal. Any equals or any likenesses or any equals.
وَصَاحِبَهْ وَالْأَوْلَادِ.
Nor any wife or consort or any children. Which, alhamdulillah, most Muslims don't have to worry about.
ثُمَّ إِرَادَتُهُ اللَّهَ بِأَقَامَةِ التَّوْحِيدِ.
And then his desire for Allah firmly establishes the reality of Tawheed with him. And this is what we were saying a minute ago concerning Sidq. That the reality of Ikhlas is manifested, or Tawheed, through his desire for Allah. And everything, Husn awa niyyah, we only want Allah. Our living, our dying, our prayer, inna salati wa nusuki wa mhayaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Everything is for Allah. And this is the actualization and the establishment of Tawheed in our lives.
وَجَمْعُ الْهَمِّ لَهُ وَبِهِ فِي النَّفْلِ وَالْفَرْضِ.
And everything that we do in our worship of Allah, be it nafil or fard, there's no distinction. Our whole concern is Allah and attaining the pleasure of Allah and arriving at the meeting, longing for the meeting of Allah, and meeting Allah in a good state. So there is no distinction between fard and nafil at this point.
وَصِحَّةُ الْيَقِينِ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ.
And the soundness of certitude lies in three things.
سُكُونُ الْقَلْبِ إِلَى الثَّقَةِ بِاللَّهِ.
That our hearts, we have absolute peace and peace of mind and stillness of heart.
generated by our trust in Allah. So we trust in Allah and we know everything's going to be alright. When we trust in someone, what do we say? Everything will be alright. And so-and-so is dependable. He won't let me down. She won't let me down. So when we realize and absolutely trust in Allah, we know Allah won't let us down. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Allah never breaks His promise. So Allah will definitely not let us down. But this reality has to grow in our hearts. This reality has to grow in our hearts. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And he's led by the commandment of Allah. So he has no desire. Wherever Allah Ta'ala's command leads him, that's where he goes. وَالْإِشْفَاقُ وَالْوَجَلُ مِنْ سَابِقِ الْإِلْمِ. And he's filled with dread and trembling from the knowledge of what he sent forth and how much he falls short. This fills him with dread and this makes him tremble. But he hopes for good from Allah. And again, the balance. So we're not overwhelmed by this day. We're not overwhelmed by the fear to the point that we lose hope. But when we stop to think about it and realize how short we fall and realize how lax we've been, it does make us fear. But then we check ourselves and we realize how merciful Allah Ta'ala is and realize how expansive Allah Ta'ala's bounties are. So this keeps us in check. وَلِلْيَقِينِ أَوَّلٌ وَآخِرٌ. And certainty also has a beginning and an end. فَأَوَّلُهُ أَطْمَأْنِينَةٌ. Its beginning point is tranquility. So, certainty brings us tranquility. وَأَخِرُهُ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْكِفَايَةِ لِقَوْلِهِ جَلَّ وَعَزٍّ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ تَبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And its end point is finding sufficiency in nothing but Allah. Nothing suffices us but Allah. And he says the evidence for this, this is according to the saying of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Jalla wa Azza. O ye who believe, O you prophet, sufficient for you is Allah. And here many people mistranslate this verse. They say, Allah suffices you and the believers. So they say, Allah suffices you and the believers. But the accurate translation is what we call hadith here. That, O prophet, Allah is sufficient for you, and O believers, Allah is sufficient for you. So this is the accurate understanding of this ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The O Messenger, Allah suffices you, and Allah suffices those who follow you from amongst the believers. And not Allah and the believers suffice the messenger, but Allah suffices the prophet, and those who follow the prophet, Allah suffices them. وَالْحَسْبُ هُوَ الْكَافِي. So the source of sufficiency is the one who gives it, Allah Ta'ala. وَالْمُكْتَفِي هُوَ الْعَبْدُ الرَّاضِي بِمَا قَضَى. And the one who is sufficed or who finds sufficiency, he is the contented servant or the servant who is contented with that which has been decreed. So the sufficiency lies in being contented with what's been decreed. If a little has been decreed, that's sufficient. If an abundance has been decreed, that's sufficient. Whatever Allah has given us, that's sufficient, because Allah suffices the Prophet and Allah suffices those who follow him from amongst the believers. وَإِنَّمَا قُلْنَا آخِرُ الْيَقِينِ مِنْ وُجُودِ أَوْصَافِ الْعَبْدِ فِي مَقَامِ الْإِيمَانِ لَا فِي آخِرِ الْيَقِينِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. So he says that we said that the end point of certainty is from the existence of the characteristics that the servant possesses في مقام الإيمان لا في آخر اليقين من العلم and not in an end state that can be described or conveyed by knowledge. Why? وَلَنْ يَبْلُغَ ذَلِكَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Because no one from the servants of Allah, from the creation of human beings that Allah has created, or from His creation in general, will ever attain to absolute knowledge of Allah. So, since we can never attain to absolute knowledge of Allah, we can never be absolutely certain on the basis of knowledge concerning Allah. But we can be absolutely certain in terms of our state and in terms of the condition of our heart. And he says, the evidence for that, لَنْ يَبْلُغَ أَحَدٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ كُنْهًا. That no one will ever attain to the realization of the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they said, and this meaning is accurate, but this hadith is mawdu'. Especially the latter part of this hadith, when he says, قالوا, they said, the Sahaba, يا رسول الله, إنا بلغنا أن عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام كان يمشي على الماء. قال لو ازداد يقينا وخوفا لمشى في الهواء. This hadith is موضوع, and the meaning of it is even very shaky. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, has reached us that Isa alayhi bin the son of Maryam walked on the water. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he increased in his certainty and his fear, he would have walked on the air. So this is a false hadith that we shouldn't use for istishhad or making a point with. So we want to remind everyone of that. But the first part of the hadith that has... Or this saying, because we can call it a hadith even, it has what they call shawahid. It has other narrations from Quran and from Sunnah which substantiate it. That being, لَنْ يَبْلَغَ أَحَدٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ كُنْهًا. That no one will ever attain to the realization of the essence of Allah. Well, and so because of that, he says, there's no level of knowledge can ever convey absolute certainty, knowledge that emanates from us concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's something that's unknown. وَلَا يَكُونُ الْخُوفُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْيَقِينِ. And fear will only come after certainty. So once certainty is established, then we can enter into the realm of fear. He says, why? وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ خَائِفًا لِمَا لَمْ يَسْتَيْقِنْ. Have you ever seen anyone fear something they're not certain about? Does the child fear the fire before he's certain that it will burn him? Or the radiator? He doesn't fear it, so you have to constantly pull him back. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Get away from that. Because he doesn't have certainty that will harm him. But once he touches it one time, now he's certain. You don't have to pull him back anymore. He refrains or restrains himself. So he says, fear only comes after certainty. So once we're certain concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're in a position to fear Allah ta'ala. وَخَوْفُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. And khawf or fear is in three things. خوف الإيمان, the fear that arises from our faith. وعلامته مفارقة المعاصي والذنوب. And its sign is our leaving off rebellion and sinning. وهو خوف المريدين. And this is the fear of those who desire Allah. وخوف السلف. خوف السلف doesn't mean the fear of the early Muslims. Salaf here means a tajir or tijar or trade. Salaf meaning trade. So the fear of the trader, the tajir, the one who's entering into a transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَامَتُهُ الْخَشْيَةُ وَالْإِشْفَاقُ وَالْوَرَعُ. And its signs or its indicators are awe before Allah and fear or dread concerning what might happen to us if we rebel against Allah or fall short in this transaction, and scrupulousness in deen, leaving off lawful things, fearing that they might lead us to the unlawful. So leaving off eating lawful food in excess, fearing that some unlawful food might eventually be mixed up with the abundance of lawfulness. So if we only eat a little, the chances are lesser that we'll fall into something of the haram. And this is what wara is. وَهُوَ خَوْفُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And this is the level of the ulama, or the scholars. So the first level is the level of those who are seeking Allah. The second level, the level of those who know Allah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those, and if you read the tafsir, it says, those servants who know Allah, they fear Allah. So this ayah, if you read the books of tafsir, it's not talking about absolute knowledge. Like the, so people say, rocket scientists, they fear Allah, and engineers, not necessarily. A lot of rocket scientists aren't even Muslims. They don't have enough fear of Allah to even submit to his religion. But those knowledgeable servants, those who are knowledgeable concerning Allah, those who know Allah, those who have attained to the reality in their lives that Allah is real and who Allah is, and the reality of the names and attributes of Allah have been manifested and made real for that person, that's the one that fears Allah. So these are the ulama that he's talking about. Wallahu alam. Wa khawful fawt. And the fear of fleeing away from that which is forbidden, of fleeing. وَعَلَامَتُهُ بَذْلُ الْجُهْدِ فِي الطَّلَبِ فِي الطَّلَبِ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ بِوُجُودِ الْهَيْبَةِ وَالْإِجْلَالِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And its indicator is exerting one's utmost effort in seeking the pleasure of Allah because of the existence in one's self of reverence and awe and exaltation of Allah Ta'ala. So we hasten to in our request for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah orders us in the Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah. So we should be fleeing to Allah Ta'ala. وَهُوَ خَوْفُ الصِّدِّقِينَ. And this is the khawf of those testifiers to the truth. And their Imam Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. وَمَقَامٌ رَابِعٌ وَمَقَامٌ رَابِعٌ فِي الْخَوْفِ خَصَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءَ عَلَيْهِمِ السَّلَامِ. So he mentions three stations: the station of the Muridin, the station of the Ulama, the station of the Siddiqeen. Then he says a fourth station in concerning fear, which Allah has especially distinguished for his angels and his Anbiya. So they don't fear the hellfire. They're assured, the prophets and angels, they don't have to worry about the hellfire. So their fear doesn't arrive from the dread of the hellfire, or they don't fear rebelling against Allah. They're ma'sum, ma'sumun. They're divinely protected from rebelling against Allah. So their fear doesn't come from these things that the other three groups fear from. He says, rather, وَهُوَ خَوْفُ الْإِعْظَامِ. This is the fear of magnification. لِأَنَّهُمْ آمِنُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ. Because they don't fear for themselves. They're secure concerning themselves because of the grant of safety that Allah Ta'ala has given them. فَخَوْفُهُمْ تَعْبُدُهُمْ لِلَّهِ إِجْلَالًا وَإِعْظَامًا. Then their fear is from their worshipping of Allah Ta'ala out of exaltation of Him and magnification of Him. وَالْمَحَبَّةُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ. And love is in three things. لَا يُسَمَّ مُحِبًّا لِلَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلِّ إِلَّا بِهَا. And a person is not called a lover of Allah except with the existence of these three things. مَحَبَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلِّ. The love of the believers for each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعَلَامَةُ ذَلِكَ كَفُّ الْأَذَى عَنْهُمْ. And the sign of this is their refraining from harming each other. الْمُسْلِمَ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ. So their love for Allah is manifested in their love for the believers. And their love for the believers is manifested in their refraining from harming anyone from the people of belief. وَجَبُ الْمَنْفَعَةِ إِلَيْهِمْ, and to do anything to bring benefit to them. Secondly, وَمَحَبَّةُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ لِلَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلِ, and the love of the Prophet for Allah. وَعْلَامُتُ ذَلِكَ, for the sake of Allah. The love of the Messenger for the sake of Allah. وَعْلَامُتُ ذَلِكَ اتَّبَاعُ سُنَّتِهِ. قال الله عز وجل عز قال الله جل ذكره قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. So he says the second sign of their love for Allah, first the love of the believers, and manifested by their refraining from harming the believers. The second, their love of the Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And its sign manifested in following his sunnah. And Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, say, if indeed you love Allah, then follow me, the Messenger of Allah. Say to them, O Muhammad, if indeed you love Allah, then follow me, then Allah will love you, and He will forgive your sins. وَمَحَبَّتُ اللَّهِ, the third level or manifestation, وَمَحَبَّتُ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلْ فِي إِثَارِ طَاعَةِ عَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ وَيُقَالُ ذِكْرُ النِّعْمَةِ يُورِثُ الْمَحَبَّةِ. He says, and the love of Allah Ta'ala, which is to be found in preferring obedience over rebellion. And it's said that remembering the blessings brings about love, for the bestower of those blessings. وَلِلْمَحَبَّةِ أَوَّلٌ وَآخِرٌ. And love has a beginning and it has an end. فَأَوَّلُهَا مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ بِالْأَيَّادِ وَالْمِنَنِ. He says the first or the beginning of love is the love of Allah for His blessings and graces. The blessings and graces that Allah Ta'ala bestows upon us, we love Him for those. قَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ جُبِلَتِ الْقُلُوبُ عَلَى حُبِّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا. Ibn Mas'ud said, the hearts are made, are inclined towards those who do good to them. So we are inclined towards those who do good to us. If a person does good to us and treats us in a nice manner, our hearts incline towards that person. And the opposite is also true. So when we reflect on the tremendous good that Allah Ta'ala has done for us, this can only lead us to love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَعَلَاهَا الْمَحَبَّةُ لِوُجُوبِ حَقِّ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلِ. قَالَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ فُضَيْلٍ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّمَا يُحَبُّ اللَّهُ عَزُّ وَجَلِ لِأَنَّهُ هُوَ اللَّهُ. He says, in the highest level of love, وَعَلَاهَا الْمَحَبَّةُ, is the love for the mere existence of the right that's owed to Allah Ta'ala. And Ali bin al-Fudayl, may Allah have mercy on him, he says, rather Allah is loved because He is Allah. And there's no other explanation. Allah is loved because He is Allah. When we realize who Allah is, we love Allah because He is Allah. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ لِطَاوُوسِ أَوْصِينِي. A man said to Tawus, one of the early scholars, he said, admonish me. قال, he said, أُوصِيكُمْ أَنْ يُحِبَّ اللَّهَ حُبًّا حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ شَيْءٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِنْهُ. He says, I admonish you that you love Allah with a love so deep that until there is nothing else more beloved to you than Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe are overwhelmingly intense in their love for Allah.
أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ.
This is the state of the believers. So he said, Tawus, that you love Allah with a love so deep that there is nothing more beloved to you than Him.
وَخَفْهُ خَوْفًا حَتَّى لَا يَكُونَ شَيْءٌ أَخْوَفَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْهِ.
And he said that you should fear Him with a fear so thorough that there is nothing more dreadful to you or fearful to you, or nothing that inspires more fear in you than Him.
وَارْجُوا اللَّهَ رَجَاءً يَحُولُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ الْخَوْفِ.
And long for good for good from Allah with a longing that's so deep that it comes between you and between that fear. So your raja comes between you and being overwhelmed and consumed by that fear. And then he says,
وَرْضَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تَرْضَى لِنَفْسِكَ.
And be pleased with the people with that which you are pleased with for yourself.
قُمْ فَقَدْ جَمَعْتُ لَكَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَالزَّبُورَ وَالْفُرْقَانَ.
He said, stand up, you can go now. I've joined together for you the essential meanings of the Torah, the Injil, the Psalms, and the Quran in this admonition.
Rahimahullah. والإجلال والتعظيم من الحياء بمنزلة الرأس من الجسد.
And he said, the exaltation and magnification of Allah is proportionate to your modesty and shyness before Allah. It has the same relationship as the relationship between the head and the body. So if you magnify, why are you shy before your grandmother? We mentioned yesterday. If your grandmother's in front of you, you would never do anything that's questionable Islamically. Why? Because of the status that you give to your grandparents, of the exaltation and the honor that you give to them. So he says, he's saying that the exaltation and the magnification of Allah is so great that this is what inspires and instills in us shyness before Allah. That we don't dare transgress or do anything before Allah. We're totally restrained. What's a shy person? They refrain and restrain themselves from talking, even though they want to. But their shyness restrains them from being excessively active. They're restrained. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. So they're not active. And so this is the state before Allah, that we're refrained and restrained before Allah. And this is called ta'affuf. The result of this state is called ta'affuf, or restraint or chastity. And he says the relationship between the exaltation, glorification, and shyness is like the relationship between the head and the body. الَّذِي لَا غِنَى لِأَحَدِهِمَا عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ. That one of them cannot do without the other. وَإِذَا اسْتَحْيَى الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ أَجَلَّهُ. And if the servant is shy before Allah, he exalts him. وَأَفْضُلُ الْحَيَاءِ الْمُرَاقَبَةُ لِلَّهِ عَزْ وَجَلِ. And the best form of shyness is the awareness that Allah Ta'ala is watching over one. Or the watching over oneself for the sake of Allah. And the result is the same.
وَالْمُرَاقَبَةُ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ.
Awareness of the overlooking of Allah is in three things.
Muraqabatullahi fi ta'atihi bil amal.
The awareness that Allah Ta'ala is watching over us in our obedience to Allah with the actions that we do.
Wa muraqabatullahi fi ma'siyatihi bil tark.
And the awareness that Allah Ta'ala is watching over us at the times that we might rebel, and this inspires us to leave off rebellion. So to start from the beginning, this awareness of Allah watching over us is in three things. The awareness that Allah is watching over us when we obey Him, and this pushes us to worship Him and to work. The awareness that Allah Ta'ala is watching over us when we rebel against Him, and this pushes us to leave off rebellion. وَمُرَاقَبَةُ اللَّهِ فِي الْهَمِّ وَالْخَوَاطِرِ لِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And the third level, the awareness that Allah is watching over even our thoughts and our subconscious inclinations, or the things that come to our mind without our having any control over it. And he says, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you don't see Him, verily He sees you. He says, and elaborating on the last point, the awareness that Allah is watching over our concerns and our subconscious suggestions. وَالْمُرَاقَبَةُ الْقَلْبِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَشَدُّ تَعَبًا عَلَى الْبَدَنِ مِنْ مُكَابَدَةِ قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ. And the muraqaba in our hearts, of the heart, for Allah Ta'ala, is more difficult. So the muraqaba of the actions is fairly easy, but the muraqaba of the heart is more difficult and more strenuous and stressful than standing for prayer at night. وَصِيَامِ النَّهَارِ, and standing for and fasting during the days. وَالْإِنْفَاقِ الْمَالِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and spending wealth in the way of Allah. So monitoring the things that come to our heart is a very difficult and a very high state. And it's something that drains us, but it's something we strive for, until even those things that are suggested to us, we immediately drive them away out of our awareness of Allah Ta'ala watching over us. وَقَدْ ذُكِرَ عَنْ عَلِيِّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ. It's related that Ali, the son of Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي عَرْضِهِ آنِيَةٌ, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ فِي عَرْضِهِ آنِيَةٌ, that Allah has certain vessels in His earth. وَإِنَّ مِنْ آنِيَتِهِ فِيهَا الْقُلُوبِ, and in these vessels are the hearts. فَلَا تَقْبَلُوا فَلَا يَقْبَلُوا مِنْهَا إِلَّا مَصُوفِيَا وَصُرِبَا وَرَقَّى, and Allah only accepts from these hearts that which is first purified and then firmed up and then softened. What does all this mean? And this is the conclusion of the book. وَمَعْنَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يُصَفِّي أَنْ يُصَفِّ الْقَلْبَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْاتِّبَاعِ أَمْرِهِ وَنَهْيِهِ وَمُشَاهَدَةِ الصِّدْقِ وَالْإِشْفَاقِ. He says, what does it mean to be purified? That He purifies the heart for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, by following His commands, avoiding His prohibitions, and having the witness of truth and fear. So a person who has honesty and who has fear. وَصَفَّاهُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and He's purified this for the Messenger of Allah. بِقَبُولِ مَا أَتَى بِهِ قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا وَنِيَّةً. So He purifies his heart to accept what the Messenger of for the Messenger of Allah, by accepting what the Messenger of Allah has brought from his Sunnah, the speech, actions, and in speech, action, and intention. وَصَفَّاهُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِكَفِّ الْأَذَى وَإِيصَالِ النَّفْعِ, and the purification of his heart for the believers is manifested in his refraining from harming the believers and in bringing good to the believers. And these are two of the best characteristics: not harming the believers and bringing good to the believers. And a final time, we mentioned the hadith, which everyone should have memorized by now, because we said it so many times, al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi.
The Muslim is the one who the Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand.
Wa amma ma'na qawlihi, as for the meaning for saying wa saluba,
so this is what it means he meant when he said purified. They're purified for Allah Ta'ala by following his commands, avoiding his prohibitions, and having honesty and fear of Allah. They're purified for the Messenger of Allah, the hearts, by accepting what he brings, by speech, action, and intention.
And they're purified for the believers by refraining from harming the believers and bringing good and benefit to the believers.
وَأَمَّا مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ وَصَلُبَ,
as for his sayings that then they're firmed up or solidified,
فَمَعْنَاهُ قَوِيَّ قَوِيَّ فِي إِقَامَةِ الْحُدُودِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى.
He said they're firmed up by establishing the limits set by Allah for the sake of Allah.
وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ,
and commanding the good and forbidding the wrong. So now this is firmness and resolve, establishing the hudud, commanding the good, forbidding the wrong.
وَقَوْلُ,
and then in conclusion, so after they've been purified and then they've been firmed, now they're softened.
وَقَوْلِهِ وَرَقَّ فَرِقَّةُ عَلَى وَجْهَيْنِ.
This softening is in involves two aspects.
رِقَّةٌ بِالْبُكَاءِ,
they're softened up and they're given the ability to shed tears, the ability to cry. And if you haven't cried fi sabilillah, you should cry because you haven't cried lately. We should have a heart that has the ability to shed tears.
وَرِقَّةٌ بِالرَّأْفَةِ,
and they're softened up with mercy. Ra'fa is a high level of mercy. This is what Ra'fa is. Ra'uf al-Rahim. Ra'uf is merciful, but intensely merciful. So this is the end state that we want to arrive at, with a soft heart, a heart that can cry and shed tears, and a heart that's capable of mercy. Wabillahi tawfiq, and the facilitation and help to do this only comes from Allah. Wa huwa hasbuna wa ni'mal wakeel, and he suffices us, and he is the most excellent one to put our trust in. So we finish the book. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And how much time is on the tape? We're finished. We just make dua. Is there time on the tape? Anticlimactic. So, having said that, we're going to summarize, inshallah. In summary, we've taken this journey back through time, and we've read from cover to cover with the help and the tawfiq from Allah, and to the best of our ability to convey the intended meanings. One of the first books that, alhamdulillah, has been brought to our attention by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghuddah, one of the great scholars of this century, and who's done such a wonderful commentary on the book and has made tahqiq, or a critical edition of the book. So we've seen many themes mentioned, and we'd just like to emphasize some of the most important so that we leave. I once had a course in micro or macroeconomics, and the textbook, in the beginning of the book, they say 10 points you should memorize after the final exam. So there are 10 essential points that when you forget everything else, remember these things. So inshallah, we can mention a few things that we should try to remember after everything else is forgotten. First of all, the importance of refraining from harming the Muslims. and bringing benefit to the Muslims, as he emphasized. So this should be high on our list of priorities, and this should be something which we strive to do. The second thing is to be sincere in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and try to remove, as we go through life, greater to a higher and higher and greater extent, anything that comes between us and our intention. To remove that away from our life so that our intention is pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned the quality of the believer, and he concluded with this, having mercy, that we should be merciful people. And we mentioned in the context of this, one of the proofs we mentioned from the Quran, Muhammadun Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Then Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Those who are with him, they are firm with the kuffar. And even that case, only those antagonistic non-believers, not those who don't harm us and fight us and try to push us out of our lands. And they are merciful with each other. So we are people who should be merciful with each other. And this should be the basis of our brotherhood and the basis of our unity, our mutual mercy for each other. So he emphasized this point. And there are many other points which we can make, but the time is short. We just do wish to conclude by praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us the strength to go forth from here with a renewed spirit, and to go forth from here as balanced Muslims, not Muslims that are overwhelmed by one side or one tendency or another, but Muslims that join together between these three aspects mentioned in the hadith of Jibril, al-Iman, wal-Islam, wal-Ihsan. And to be amongst the people who don't neglect the third aspect of Ihsan, which is often neglected in these days and times, that we rarely come together and go through a book such as this that's dealing with the Ihsan, that's dealing with the states of the believers, and dealing with these in a sound way, not in a philosophical way that might some people might deem controversial, but just mentioning Quran and mentioning Hadith and mentioning the sayings of the early Muslims, of the Salaf, and then shedding personal insight on that. And so this is a sound methodology, and we should encourage people to engage in this sort of literature and encourage our teachers and our imams and our respective communities to bring us this sort of teaching, because these are the teachings that will help us to purify our hearts and to soften our hearts and to be a little more compassionate to our fellow Muslims and to have a little more understanding for our fellow Muslims and to bring more love and more peace and tranquility into our homes and our Islamic centers and our masajid. So we shouldn't neglect this aspect of Islam just because some people, in their short-sightedness, they do neglect it. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the spirit of brotherhood that was fostered by brothers coming together, and the spirit of sisterhood that was fostered by sisters coming together from different parts of the country and meeting each other and spending these 2 days with each other, that we build on this, that we've exchanged addresses and phone numbers, and that we can stay in touch with each other. And in the future, that this network which we are starting to form, that we can build on this and articulate this and develop this so that we can be more effective in doing the Islamic work that we need to do it from a broader base and a stronger base, a richer base, and a deeper base. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the desire to go back and to be a little more diligent in our practice of Islam, and to look at our Islam with a stronger light, and to look a little more deeply within ourselves, to find the wherewithal to rise to greater levels. As we mentioned in the course of going through this, we want to be people who have magnanimity or magnanimous people. People are big, and as a result, we can overlook petty things and not get bogged down in petty things, and we can overlook insults that people might hurl at us, and we can rise above that so that we can be the people that Allah Ta'ala talks about when He says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ, that we made from amongst them. So the leaders come from amongst the people. So it's from amongst the brothers and sisters in this country that the leaders who will take Islam to the next level are going to come. This is a sunnah that Allah Ta'ala has established. But this only comes, He says, لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, after they patiently persevere along the path and persevere with the difficulties and the hardships. And many of us should see ourselves as pioneers. We're the people out in the jungle with the machete chopping the path. And it's a hard job. But inshallah, if we do our job, the people coming after us, they'll have a road to walk on. They'll have an easy path because of the sacrifices that we make. So don't become frustrated if the bushes are thick and the mosquitoes are many and the alligators are snapping and the quicksand is all around you. Don't be discouraged. Just keep forging that path and chopping that path through the wilderness, because the reward for the pioneer is so much greater than the reward for the ones who will come after. Because the pioneers, they are the ones who built that road. They are the ones who made that path through the jungle. And they are the ones that facilitated those who come after them having an easy time of it. So never get discouraged and never give up hope. And as we emphasize, this is a characteristic of a non-believing people. We are people that, as we said, we are mutafa'il. Mutafa'ilun, and we're not mutasha'imun. We're optimists, we're not pessimists. And we should understand that good will come, and that we will get to where we need to go. And we'll get there together, inshallah. And when that time comes, then we'll have a great, great, great celebration. And then our Eids at that time, they'll really be Eids, because we'll have something to celebrate. So we encourage all the brothers and all of the sisters to keep working. When you go home, don't go home emotionally overwhelmed so that you upset the balance in your community. Go home with maturity and wisdom to fit into the community and to acknowledge what's going on, but try to strengthen what's going on, as opposed to, oh, we have something new and better. We have a better wheel. All wheels are round, so it's hard to come up with a better wheel. So inshallah, we can all put our heads together and build a better car and not worry about the wheels. So jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'ana wa anfa'ana bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman wa 'amalan khalisan liwajhikal karim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.